It's showtime.
Bob Kincaid, 3 hours of conversation cussing and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head On with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, crmw.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bicod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy. Here we go. We are off and running this evening on this 28th day of December 2017. This is The Horn. HeadOnRadioNetwork.com is where we live. That, of course, is where you go if you'd like to jump into the chat room and be part of the merry, madcap, wacky, zany, real-time, multimedia extravaganza that is The Horn chat room. Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. If you pick yourself out a screen name and a password, well, you'll be, upon your arrival in the chat room, you will be immediately greeted by the likes of Anatole and Hoghead and Silent R. Lamar and Steve from Georgistan, and we certainly hope Ms. Karen is feeling much better, and V.T. Blom and Will in Chicago, all capably moderated by longtime inveterate, indefatigable veteran chat room moderator Sparky, who, being a spacing guild master, has folded space this evening to become both Man Cave and Sparky HDTV. He's just showing off his spacing guild master skills this evening. Hi, I'm Bob Kincaid. It is, it's a brisk 55 degrees here in the studio this evening, because last night we got down to like freaking 5. Yeah, I remember reading that news story a couple of months back saying that we were going to have a mildish winter here in Appalachistan. Fucking liars. Okay, there's the first incarnation of the somewhat muted F word for the. I've been using it a lot today because it's just like I'm a propane purchasing fool right now. I'll probably have to take a break somewhere along through the course of the program this evening and change propane bottles. Jeez, yeah, I know. But it is, it's Thorn in the Side Thursday. I've spent a big part of my day wrestling with Skype. And, you know, you just don't like it when technology has you by the short ones. And you know there's nothing you can do about it. It's not like you can ever get a human being on a telephone at Skype. And when you go, when you start, trying to thumb through the knowledge base and the help archive and everything, guess what you see? I wish I could get somebody to talk to on the bike stag and not pull Frazelec and not phone, because these articles are as useless as a kickstand on a tank. Hey, thank you very kindly, Brother Deacon Asa, pointing out full bitrate on both streams. Hallelujah! It's a Christmas miracle. We're just covered with With extraordinary happenings in the last week and a half or so. Goodness me, sakes alive. I mean, last week we had our Hornica miracle, and we've had two straight days of, or two consecutive days of full bitrate streaming, both at headon.live and at whiterosesociety.org. Man, I wish I had a sledgehammer. I'd knock wood on this table really good. As it is, we'll just, you know, rap with the knuckles. But yeah, I've spent the day wrestling with this Skype problem, and it has all come to naught. So I should probably tell you how we're going to handle this going forward. I have verified, thanks to Thomas over at FYINation.com and thanks to my lovely wife, Agnes, I've verified that nobody can call in. It kicks immediately to voicemail, and I've configured and confugured and confuured and ay-yay-yay. And nothing helps. So my next step is to wade back into the community over there and be not helped some more. We've also verified one other thing, though. Nobody can call in, but I can call out. So that's how it's going to have to work. If you want on the program, you're going to have to send me a message, and then I will have to call you. It's a hell of a way to run a conversation radio network, isn't it? But then again, I think that's how they run some of those game shows over on public radio, don't they? Isn't that how it worked with the car guys back when they were running live? They'd tape their program and you'd tell them and then you'd call it, right. Well, you know, we had a nice run with Skype. And maybe we'll get it fixed yet. Oh, that's a lovely image, Glenn. Republican Jeebus manifesting itself in the hind end of a dog. Yep. That's him. That's him. So. That's where it's good. So when we move into the call the program part of the program, if you want to get in the program, just get on Skype and send me a message and say, "Hey Bob, I want to talk." And then if you're ready, I'll hit the magic button, and we'll be conversating. Okay. Thanks, Will. I did that. I uninstalled Skype. I reinstalled Skype. I shut down the computer. I started the computer. I restarted the computer. I danced around it 12 times with one hand in the air and my tongue sticking out of my mouth. Yeah, right. And uttered ancient Eldritch magical with a K phrases. Bupkis. Sadly, Bupkis. But hey, on the other end of things, we've got thanks to send out. Thanks very kindly to Sheila out in and Jerry out in Arizona. Thank you very kindly indeed. And thanks to Sharon. And thanks to our buddy Harold, president and CEO of the Secret Open Carry Happy Trails Roundup Society. Mm-hmm. Thank you very much. And thanks. Thanks to our subscribers. Philip in Texas. And thanks very much to Randy in PA. Thanks to Smitty down in Florida. And thanks very kindly to Charlene in Rhode Island. Thank you very, very much indeed. And thanks, everyone, for making this an entire fundraising-free week of broadcasting on the horn. Yep, Randy did that too. Uncheck the mute checkbox in the sound control. You betcha. It's not... Jim, you're not going to be able to get through, buddy. It is not going to work for you because Skype is screwed up. Doesn't work that way. Well, no, it hasn't, but Laurel with a message. Thanks to Diana May of Wheeling, West Virginia, I recently received a check in the mail of $133.65 that the fine folks at Frontier Communications Corporation had to fork over as part of a class action settlement, hoping that a check has made its way into your box from Frontier Sucks. If it has, great. Don't spend it all in one place. Nope, sorry, none for us. That's the first I've heard of that. But anyway, it's Thorn in the Side Thursday on the horn. And thanks very kindly again to all of our subscribers and everybody who has kicked in to finish the month and the Stomp the Swede and Lambast the Lithuanian and Nuke the Norsky, and Crush the Czech. Thank you very, very much indeed. It's awesome not having to break in and fundraise in the middle of the program. It's just beautiful. All of that, of course, will revert to the irritating status quo ante somewhere around Tuesday, January the 2nd. No, I don't mean a landline number. I mean, that's how this isn't going to be able to work as far as clarity asking. Do you mean a landline? No, I don't mean a landline. Skype is what we're dealing with. Skype to Skype. Because that's, I can only reach, I can reach out on Skype. And that's it. So, there we go. Sorry. So, that's correct, Hoghead. You gotta pay for Skype credits if you want to call landlines or cell phones or anything like that. You can do an unlimited subscription for like $3 a month, and it's all the... It's all the external dialing you could ever possibly want to do, but haven't set that up yet. If I have to, I will. But it's not something I'm looking forward to. So there we go. At 14 minutes past the hour, that's most of the housekeeping and busy work knocked out. However, I wanted to take a moment as we approach the new year, and just let you know that there's the new year is an entirely arbitrary thing. Some people prefer lunar years, others solar. There's all kinds of different calendars out there, Gregorian and Julian and Mayan and atomic. And but it's just, it's we know cultures figured out early on that there is a certain clockwork predictableness to the universe. And just as we noted, or just as I noted with regard to the winter solstice, you've got to have some idea of where the Earth is in its annual trip around the sun in order to be able to tell when to plant, when to harvest, when to sacrifice the Fisher King or any of that sort of stuff. And so it is with the new year. But the whole holiday season can get some people down. It can sap people's energies. It's exhausting in many ways. And as we look back at an old year and look forward to a new year, it can take an existential toll. And that's why the hardworking peripatetic scientists at Horn Nutraceuticals, that's at Horn Labs on Twitter. That's why I got a note from them today asking me to tell you about our newest formulation. That's right, Kabbalistic Cabbage from Horn Nutraceuticals at Horn Labs on Twitter. Kabbalistic Cabbage, you see, is a proprietary blend of all-natural, non-GMO, organic, vegan, free-range, cruelty-free, cage-free, gluten-free cabbage compacted into a teeny tiny little capsule that is simply chock full of nutrients that'll keep you perky well into the new year. Kabbalistic cabbage, as its name implies, has a certain magical aspect to it. Because it requires a great deal of imagination for anyone to think that that it's going to do anything for them. Because, of course, Kabbalistic Cabbage is just another bullshit nutritional supplement that we have for you here every night at the Horn. Because you can't, after all, you can't be a real, live, honest-to-goodness, no-kidding professional radio program unless you've got a bullshit nutritional supplement to hustle. You know, something like paleo chocolate chicken bone beverage or something like that. Right. Well, that's why we've got Kabbalistic Cabbage for you this evening from Horn Nutraceuticals at Horn Labs on Twitter. You see, the old tradition of having cooked cabbage on New Year's Day is because cabbage is green, and so is, or used to be, Merkin money. Merca. The greatest country in the history of the world on earth today, now, forever, in the universe, under God, amen. And so it was thought that if you ate cabbage on New Year's Day, you would have you would have a greater likelihood of having money come into your possession in the new year. So we are proud to provide you, if you'll just order now, because operators aren't standing by, call now and order a 90-day supply of Kabbalistic Cabbage. And, well, it won't set you back any more than $103.79 plus $72 shipping and handling. And if you do that, order that 3-month supply, well, by Jove, we will send you a little bundle of test sticks so that in the privacy and comfort of your own home, you can find out what we already know at Horn Nutraceuticals, at Horn Labs on Twitter, namely that Kabbalistic Cabbage has absolutely no nutritional value
whatsoever.
And so you can rest assured that Kabbalistic Cabbage can do for you anything that your imagination can imagine it doing. No, actually, Brother Deacon Asa wants to know, is Kabbalistic Cabbage, and I expected this question, I was ready for it, is Kabbalistic Cabbage a variation on Sweaty Swamp Cabbage? Which is also comes from the periodontic scientific geniuses at Horn Labs, at Horn Nutraceuticals, at Horn Labs on Twitter? No, it's not. This is a completely separate formulation, and swamp cabbage is in no wise a member of the kohlrabi family. So if you don't think that you can get away with just taking a double dose of your sweaty swamp cabbage from Horn Nutraceuticals at Horn Labs on Twitter, oh, no. That's how these bullshit nutritional supplement hustles work. I mean, I've never cared much for cabbage. Well, actually, I kind of love it, but still, with this proprietary blend of Kabbalistic cabbage, by golly, goodness me, sakes alive, you can get a New Year's Day ration of cabbagey goodness each and every day. You know, you keep ordering these things, and pretty soon you won't be eating food at all. Well, you're still going to have to eat food, because like I said, there's no nutritional benefit to it whatsoever, and probably no cabbage either, for that matter. Accept no substitutes, use no hooks, post no bills, this side up, COD, FOB, HORNLABS on Twitter. Oh, don't worry about that. Don't worry about that. Clarity says, cabbage makes me fot. You got something fot of, in a fotless variety? You know, CO2, or is that CO4? Don't worry, since Kabbalistic Cabbage, Clarity, contains no actual cabbage whatsoever, it is guaranteed to not just be nutrition-free, but fart-free, too. We take things like that into consideration at Horn Nutraceuticals, at Horn Labs on Twitter. So order yours today. And in case you're wondering, We haven't even covered the tip of the iceberg on potential bullshit nutritional supplements. My goodness gracious! If only I had the larcenous spirit of Alex Jones, Jesus, we'd be rolling. Well, no, we wouldn't be rolling in money because you're not silly. You know, you're not like a Jones listener. You're not silly enough to believe any of this shit. Absolutely guaranteed, silent and odorless. Yes, Clarity, absolutely. As Randy in PA points out, it's like the Burpee Seed Company, which was founded on the burpless cucumber. And see, we've got a cucumber product, and it's not only burpless, it's cucumberless. Yeah. Oh no, we're not starting over in the alphabet, Kid Mark. We're just kind of wandering around based upon the holidays that are, and also based on what the hardworking periodontic scientists at Horn Nutraceuticals, at Horn Labs on Twitter, think that y'all most need at any given time. Delightful. So this is our next-to-last program of 2017. New Year's Eve will, of course, be Sunday. And we'll have to work out the details. We'll have Friday on the front porch tomorrow evening. But once Sparky has gathered the group together, and as they reach out to him and he adds them and so forth, I'll have to dial Sparky. It's just going to be a little bit different, but that's how we wound up having to do it on Monday as well. for the special Christmas day, Christmas evening, Christmas on the front porch. Yes, as a matter of fact, Steve, in the far frozen wastelands of Ottawa up in Canada, Steve asks, can I use it in sub-zero temperatures or do I have to use zero W50 oil? You know, you might want some oil depending on what you want to do with it, but if you're just swallowing it, nah, good glass of Canadian beer and there you go. Yeah, that's how I'd do it. How did I just take 26 minutes of the program out and just out back behind the barn and just beat it to death? I don't know. You guys, you started this stuff. Bill, writing in, cabbage. Damn, I'm a swamp cabbage eater. Great fart juice. It's not cabbage unless it makes me fart real smelly farts, Bob. Ah, well, I'm sorry, but, you know, you might want to give the world a break once in a while, Bill. And when you do, Kabbalistic cabbage is there just for you. Oh, stop it, Steve. Steve from Georgia standing in the chat room. None of that sissy-fied micro beer either. Well, he's sure not gonna drink that Clydesdale piss that you're so fond of. Budweiser, please. Oh, Louie, you're begging for a pink slip. That's the best. You know, that's the best thing Budweiser ever did. The Real Men of Genius ad campaign, and the frogs and the lizard. That's not French. Yeah. It certainly ain't the beer. So let's get into things. And by get into things, I mean things that have caught my attention during the course of the day. You know, I noticed a couple of days back the great big oh my God announcement that Guatemala, our faithful friend and ally to the south, Guatemala, had announced that it too will move its embassy to Jerusalem following the lead of Geezer Disgustus. This will not endear Guatemala to a whole lot of the world community. But Honduras and Guatemala sort of lick-spittled along after Donald Trump. And once you understand the political dynamics of the region, namely the fact that we've pretty much done everything in our power as a nation to ruin those two countries as often as possible throughout their histories, it becomes a little bit more comprehensible. For instance, did you know that the president of Guatemala is an evangelical Christian? Did you know that? His name's Jimmy Morales. And in his country, as in ours, the evangelical community wields a tremendous amount of political clout, influence. And they also manage to bring in the Yankee dollar as a result of the said evangelicalism. And so Guatemala has a long-standing a long-standing position of being, of having their nose right up the nether regions of Israel. We kind of did. Steve asking, did we head off the road and into the gutter in record time? 20 minutes is pretty damn fast for this program. But, yeah, that's and Honduras much the same, although I don't think there's been an announcement that Honduras is going to move their embassy yet. But as the president of Bolivia pointed out, it's sort of a sad situation because Guatemala and Honduras are scared to death that USAID will be cut off because there's a lot of money to be had in those bags. Evo Morales is president of Bolivia, and he said that Guatemala, quote, sold its dignity to the empire to not lose the crumbs from USAID. And this is a pig-eyed, mean-spirited, vindictive, vengeful bunch, these maggots in the White House. You may recall that in her ooey-gooey voice, that Nimrata Haley said that she had been taking names and she was going to tattle to Trump on everybody that voted against the U.S. Moving its embassy to Jerusalem. And she is. She's very serious. And she'll tell anybody how serious she really is. The only problem is Nimrata is Atne Ute Aitbre. If you one what I aim me. How do I know? Well, she just recently got punked. And she didn't just get punked. She got punked by a pair of not particularly funny Russian radio zoo crew guys. A couple of pranksters by the name of Vladimir Kuznetsov and Alexei Stolyarov called Nimrata Haley impersonating the Prime Minister of Poland. And it's not like they just called her and chatted her up for a couple of minutes, and then asked her if she had Prince Albert in a can or whether her refrigerator was running, and then rang their cowbell and hooted and laughed and hung up. No, these two, and they're not particularly funny. They were just making an ass out of her. These two kept her on the line for a half hour. Okay? And this is the setup. This is the backstory. A one-half-hour phone conversation with the United States ambassador to the United Nations, and nobody in her offices thought to check the connection or see where the call was coming from. It's pretty impressive in my book. Impressively stupid. Going back to Guatemala and Honduras for a minute, Ron in Raleigh points out, well, hell, just let the U.S. overthrow your country a few times and you'll know better than to get your back up. I'm surprised that all of Central America and big swaths of South America didn't go along with this dumbass idea. And it is a dumbass idea. So anyway, these two jocks well they called and they said that so I guess you can just call the US embassy to the United Nations and claim that you're the president of Fredonia. And get right through to Nimrata Haley. Yeah. I reckon. And then you can proceed to completely make an ass out of name-taken romper room kindergarten teacher tattletale Nimrata Haley. This audio goes on for this particular clip of it. The whole conversation went on for a half an hour. This clip goes on for about 22 minutes. And there are some choice moments. For instance, I'm just going to start it at the very beginning. The next time Alexei Kinkaidovich makes an appearance on the program and pronounces his V's as W's, as in wary, I don't want no more shit from anybody telling me that Russians pronounce their V's. I got some damn proof now, okay? Yeah. Listen for the word level.
Hello?
Hello?
Yes.
Ms. Ambassador?
Yes, this is Nikki. How are you, Mr. Minister?
I'm glad.
Yeah, that's her voice.
So nice to hear you, dear Ambassador.
Yes, thank you. And let me start with very much thanking you for the support we received on the vote today. We will never forget it.
Thank you. And I'm also glad that you have found time for me today, even the time of considering resolution in the UN against the USA. Poland, as you know, haven't supported this resolution.
Well, we're very grateful, and I absolutely will make time, and the U.S. will always look at Poland as a dear friend after this vote.
As a prime minister, I'm ready to support the U.S. decision of Jerusalem on the governmental level and any other initiative.
See? Level. He said level. So next time I say wary, wary, no more emails. Three cheers and a tiger for me. I have won. You halda, halda, halda. Feast your eyes on me. It's too good to be true. I have won. Level.
It is in this regard.
Well, and that's great, and we look forward to working with Joanna on the Security Council. There's a lot of important issues, but we look forward to working with her.
Yeah, and it is a pity that the Security Council was not wise and acted against the U.S. What is your opinion? Why did it happen?
Why did the vote happen in the Security Council?
Does Russia have anything to do with this?
Well, I think...
Now, remember, these are a couple of Russian shock jock morning zoo crew types, so that's the other part of this. They're so convinced that Russia doesn't meddle in our business that it never even dawned on them that they might get punked. And these are just a couple of radio schmucks. Yeah. I'm with you. Steve in New York, who's in the frozen tundra of Ottawa in Canada, says, I can't wait until someone calls from the consulate of Namibia. That will happen, you know. And thinking in the same vein, Brother Deacon Asa said, you can pretend you're the president of the U.S. Virgin Islands and get through to Nimrod Duh Haley. Hell, her boss even talked to the president of the U.S. Virgin Islands, his own self. Yes, he did. Oh, I guess we could be doing some sort of year in review, but this is a hell of a lot more fun. She's completely suckered in. You can almost see her putting her hand over the. How about that? I'm getting a call from the Prime Minister of Poland. I'll be Secretary of State before you knows it. Hoo-wee! Ain't just everybody gets a call from the Prime Minister of Poland. Yeah, and yes, you dear feller, what was it you was saying there?
It was, I think that really the Palestinians, it was more Egypt that kind of did this for the Arab League. You know, the Russians obviously didn't help, but I think it was more of a push by the Arab League on this one.
That's not necessarily going to be good for American foreign policy. For her to be saying publicly that it was the Egyptians what done it, because it may well be that the Egyptians, no, it was not us. We did not do this. We voted, but we did not do this. Because there are a whole bunch of countries that voted to condemn this action. But to the extent that these two guys are in Russia, you know, they don't want to wake up all dead some morning. So consequently, they're not going to say anything that's actually anti-Russia per se. They're just going to lead Nikki along, Nimrata along by her gullible little schnoz, and let her say all the stupid shit.
Okay, but you know that we are with you.
Yes, and we appreciate that very much, and certainly look forward to a stronger and a continue to work together relationship as we go on to the Security Council together.
Yeah, that's some fancy diplomacy talking there. We look forward to a continue to work together relationship. This woman is about as qualified to serve as ambassador to the United Nations as well as I am to serve as ambassador to the Court of St. James, considering how I feel about the royal family and royals in general. I mean, I might even walk up and hug the Queen, just like old Aconestoda did so many hundreds of years ago. We're talking about. I mean, I could have said, well, there's not going to be a Moran Monday this Monday, so I couldn't save it. This is a breathtaking level of stupidity. Yeah, well, you just do that, Asa. You just do that. I'll have to push back, Asa says, on your assertion about the Russian pronunciation of V as W. They call him Vladimir Putin with a V, with a hard V. I've never heard a Russian say Vladimir Putin. I'll be sending emails next time you screw it up again, Kincaid. Damn you, Asa. But the fact of the matter is, these are Russian fellers, and they say level. Maybe that's them doing... Because I don't know what it sounds like when a Russian does a Polish accent. Is that what it is? Is it a Polish thing? Is that where we... I don't know. I don't. I wonder how the Tangerine Tiberius is going to feel when he finds out that his UN ambassador got made a fool of. Because if the stories are to be believed, he doesn't much care for that kind of thing. Foreign policy by prank. You know what? Nimrata strikes me as the sort of person that if you did ask her if she had Prince Albert in a can, she'd probably just say, I don't smoke. And that would be the end of it. Oh, Simon Simple and Simon Pure.
Together, and certainly in any way that we can be helpful, just please feel like you can give me a call anytime, and we'll be happy to push forward anything that you need.
Meanwhile, note coming from Jeff from Hellhole, Indiana. In defense of Nikki Haley, it isn't hard to make a dumb fuck look dumb, LOL. It's not a long trip, no. No, it's a no.
And I would also like to discuss our Polish-Ukrainian relations with you. As you know, Ukraine is our neighbor, and we often acted jointly. Poland has always supported Ukraine, and especially in the fight against Russia. The Ukrainian authorities have often asked us to vote for different resolutions in the UN, and we supported them.
Now, see, this is where it gets a little bit interesting, because this is actual foreign policy stuff. And Ukraine is a sore spot. And we got some action going on, you know, some sending some arms and selling them arms and stuff like that. And of course, meanwhile, Vladimir, a big bad Vladdy daddy, owns Donald Trump. So that, and consequently, when this guy starts asking questions about Ukraine, then the potential for an international incident kind of goes up. Because, see, it's all... And this is why it's worth playing this audio. It's all a joke on the two Zucru guys. And... But remember, Nimrata Haley thinks she is talking on a secure line or just a cell phone line for all we... Maybe she just doesn't care. Maybe she's just, as Jeff from Hellhole, Indiana puts it out, maybe she's just a dumb fuck and wouldn't know shit from Shinola as far as the telephony is concerned. But she thinks she's having a policy conversation with the Prime Minister of Poland. And she's not even being cagey. She's not even, you know, guarding her words. She's an open print book.
But no long ago, they have passed a law on the national language, which affects the rights of minorities speaking Polish, Hungarian, Romanian, and Russian. And we also have huge differences concerning Nazism and criminals of Bandera. And, you know, as you know, Poland suffered much from Ukrainian nationalists. And Nazism glorification in Ukraine is outrageous.
Right, I understand.
And the U.S. and...
Yeah, and she's just going to agree. Because, you know, Poland is our friend. Bless their hearts, God love them.
Ukraine were against the resolution of Russia against the clarification of Nazim. Why did you follow Ukraine on this matter? I just would like to know.
Well, we've always, when it comes to Ukraine, we've found a strong relationship with Ukraine, and I think where we've come together with them is really in trying to push Russia back on the annexation of Crimea. So that really was the basis of what our relationship has been, is just helping them in the issues that they have with Russia. But, you know, as we go forward, we continue to try and get Russia and Ukraine to follow the Minsk agreement. Russia has hesitated, but we continue to work hard to make sure that we support.
Now, remember, the two bozos on the other end of the line, they don't know the Minsk agreement from the Borscht agreement from the Guacamole Act of 1917, okay? They don't. And that's how you know that this is really Nikki Haley, and that she really is dumber in the head than a hog is in the ass. I don't know if our buddy David in South Carolina, Stan, is listening this evening, but he has long pointed out what a fucking idiot this woman is. And of course, being an idiot, it meant that she was officer material for the Trump administration. Now, I mean, so it's pretty obvious, 3 minutes and 55 seconds into this recording, that Nimrata Haley is so goddamn dumb that if her brains were gas, she wouldn't have enough to fill up a piss ant's motorcycle and run it halfway around a BB. Now take a minute and remember her sitting at a table in a Senate hearing room with an array of senators gathered before her, and remember that every Republican there voted in favor of letting her be the United States Ambassador to the United Nations. I looked up the story of her confirmation. The CNN story, dated Tuesday, January 24th, 2017, says, the Senate voted Tuesday to confirm Nikki Haley as ambassador to the United Nations, making her the fourth member of President Donald Trump's cabinet to be approved, even as Republicans and Democrats battle angrily over the pace of confirmations. Haley, the governor of South Carolina and a rising GOP star, was approved with wide bipartisan support, 96-4. Yeah, so the Democrats went along, too. Haley, Republicans say, is an example of a largely non-controversial nominee who should have been approved faster. Senator John Cornyn of Texas, the second-ranking Republican leader, declared, "Our Democratic friends need to get over the fact that the election is over and now we have the responsibility of governing, hopefully together. But instead, so far, they've just chosen to obstruct and foot-drag. And to me, one of the most shameful and reckless parts of this is the way in which they delayed the confirmation of an important member of President Trump's National Security Cabinet." 96-4. And John Cornyn was still pissing and moaning. But so much for that non-controversial nominee who should have been approved faster. Anybody? Courtesy of Jim. Jim says, OMG, play it without comment, please. Sorry, Jim, can't help you, buddy. I'm going to be commenting. Because this is a level of stupid that demands it. And I'm also not going to play the entire 21 minutes and 58 seconds. Because what you'd find throughout the entirety of it is that she's a goddamn dummy. She's an idiot. She's a fool.
Well, anybody could be prank called.
Really? I mean, these guys have done this stuff before. But for the people who think that Big Bad Vladdy Daddy is just a cuddly, huggable, snugglable mass of shirtless wonderfulness, if their Radio Zoo Crew guys can do this to us, imagine what the real pros there actually did do during the elections. And imagine, because, you know, that's all in the past, but imagine what they're going to do in 2018, too. Meanwhile, Steve, far away in the frozen tundra, says, "This makes me wonder if her aides are punking her because they put this guy through to her." No, they're just as stupid as she is. Under the subject line, "How dumb is she?" Scott and Punky noting, "When it comes to Nikki Haley, it's helpful to think fence post turtle. When you're driving down a country road and you see a fence post with a turtle balanced on top of it, he doesn't belong there. You know he didn't get up there by himself. You wonder who put him up there. He can't get anything done while he's up there. And you just want to help the poor dumb thing down." Yeah, she's a post turtle.
That Crimea issue. So that's been the main part of what we have worked on with Ukraine. And, you know, certainly happy to work with you on any issues that come forward.
In this regard, we told Mr. Poroshenko that Poland is not going to support Ukrainian resolution in the UN unless Ukraine changed the law on the national language.
Okay. That's good to know, and we can look into that as well.
And I just want to ask you, can the U.S. authorities influence the authorities of Ukraine and ask them to change the law or the national language so the Ukraine will not discriminate Polish and other languages?
That's a real question. That is a serious question of foreign policy. Now, bear in mind, I don't know if there was such a law in Ukraine about Russian being or Ukrainian being the official language and somehow discriminating against Polish and German and Russian and whatever. It's probably all bullshit. But he's asking her for a commitment of American foreign policy to a specific piece of internal domestic legislation, real or fantasy, inside a sovereign third-party nation. Ron and Raleigh, subject line, "Tell me, how quickly would Barack Obama have kicked her dumb ass to the curb for such a faux pas by one of his national security personnel?" Well, see, that's the thing. She wouldn't have gotten there in the first place because she's an idiot. And I didn't necessarily support all of Barack Obama's nominees, but I feel comfortable in saying that most of them probably done got all the way through the sixth grade and could read and write real good. Yeah.
Let me look into it and look into this issue, and I will make sure that I get you an answer back.
Okay, thank you. And there is a little problem with Russian. I mean, not so little. I mean, what is your opinion? Should we claim our support for it as a language of minority and demand not to affect the rights of Russian-speaking minorities? Personally, I don't care much about Russian, but I just care about the law.
You know, I think that you should focus just on Poland, but I'm going to go look into this issue and see what we can change, and
God
then I'll give
damn.
You back mm-hmm. information, and then also give you any advice that I think we have as to how to approach it.
Okay, that's perfect. And we also know that U.S. is promising that lethal weapons to Ukraine. Is it really true? This matter has to do with the national interest of Poland's security issues.
Now, because he's using the accent, lethal weapons. Again, we're off into some pretty serious foreign policy, and she's carrying it out with a couple of shock jocks from Moscow. Wow.
As we are not sure that this type of weapons will be at the hands of right people, unfortunately, we are well aware that there are many militant groups in the country which are not accountable to the official authorities and the different troops units which can get hold of these weapons. And the corruption issue of Ukrainian authorities is still relevant, I think so.
Well, and we have been talking with Ukraine about weapons, and I know that that's something that the administration has discussed with them. I don't think it is totally finalized yet, but that was in reference to them being able to defend themselves in terms of Russia. But I will also find out confirmation on that if it's been finalized and if that's going to go forward. And I will certainly let the president know your concerns.
Dear Ambassador, sorry for me for that question, but it's so important for us. And,
I completely understand, and I respect that. Thank you.
Thank you. As for the UN resolution...
Okay, and just as a little bit of background, the Horn volunteer fact-checking and research staff, otherwise known in this instance as Brother Deacon Asa, there is a Ukrainian language law, and yes, it is drawing criticism. So it's not like these two clowns were asking her, about whether or not Donald Trump had shares in beefsteak mines. Via Reuters, back in the early part of this month, Dateline Kiev, Ukraine's neighbors have a right to criticize a new Ukrainian law banning schools from teaching in minority languages beyond primary school level, a leading European rights watchdog said on Friday. Ukraine has sizable Russian, Hungarian, and Romanian minorities, but passed the school language legislation on September 5th, angering Hungary in particular, which threatened to retaliate by blocking Kiev's hopes of EU integration. Kiev has submitted law for review by the Venice Commission, a body which rules on rights and democracy disputes in Europe, and whose decisions member states, which include Ukraine, commit to respecting. In an opinion adopted formally on Friday, the Commission said it was legitimate for Ukraine to address inequalities by helping citizens gain fluency in the state language, Ukrainian. However, and this is also from the decision, the strong domestic and international criticism, drawn especially by the provisions reducing the scope of education in minority languages, seems justified, it said in a statement. It said the ambiguous wording of parts of the Article 7 legislation raised questions about how the shift to all Ukrainian secondary education would be implemented while safeguarding the rights of ethnic minorities. As of 2015, Ukraine had 621 schools that taught in Russian, 78 in Romanian, 68 in Hungarian, and 5 in Polish. the article goes on to note that language is a sensitive issue in Ukraine. Interesting. Because, remember, one of the darling issues of the white wing in this country, of the Klansmen, the neo-Nazis, the bigots, the homophobes, the xenophobes, the freaks, the, you know, the maggots, is English-only information and instruction.
On the Crimea, we are glad that the UN actively protested against the action of Russia as an invader, and we hope that the pressure on Russia will still be in place. However, the hope that the Crimea is going back to Ukraine is very slight. Are there any prospects? What is your view?
Straight up. What is your view of the likelihood of Crimea going back to Ukraine? This is the sorest of sore spots, that and the pro-Russian separatists in the east of Ukraine, in the old coal fields of Ukraine, and it could be a real problem in a hurry. And you're right, Jim. Now we are absolutely portrayed as idiots. You know why we're portrayed as idiots, Jim? Because the people in charge of the government are idiots. This proves it. And she took the bait, she chomped down hard, and she swallowed the hook, and it's all the way down and latched onto her pelvis it's gone so far in.
I think what we have told Russia is that, you know, Crimea is part of Ukraine, and as long as they continue to annex and use their hostile actions, that we're going to continue to keep up our sanctions and continue to support Ukraine in that process. So I don't see us letting up unless Russia does something. The United States has been in talks with Russia on dealing with this situation, but it's still in talks, and no decision has been made on the Russian side.
Now, consider that. Russia didn't even have to spy to get her to spill her guts on the ongoing strategy and the ongoing policy of the United States relative to Crimea. All they had to do was to get a couple of guys whose usual gig is saying, is very, very sleek. On downtown connector in Moscow this morning, weather on the 8th, right here on Radio Moscow, Tovarich. All they had to do is get the... oh, my God. I mean, this is like, what? This is like if John Boy and Billy were to call up, I don't know, the Russian ambassador to the UN, and pretend and get maybe Chick McGee to pretend to be the the North Korean ambassador, and that the Russians would be so stupid, so gullible, so goddamn dumb, that they would just sit there, yes, da, absolutely, da. Oh, we tell you everything, absolutely. Merciful God.
So regarding the sanctions, I heard that that the U.S. can... rise the sanctions.
The United States did put sanctions on Russia for Crimea, and those sanctions are still there.
Yes, and I...
And what do you think of them, Nikki? I mean, we know that your boss doesn't like them, doesn't want to act on them. How about you, Nimrata? Here's the thing to think about. How will the Republicans ignore this? How will they pretend that somehow this doesn't matter, that this isn't serious, that this isn't a problem? How will they overlook this? Well, of course, she knew it was she knew it was a couple of shock jocks from Moscow all the time. I mean, after all, the caller ID showed CCCP radio morning zoo crew right there on the screen. I mean, she's so smart that Nimrata is that she was turning everything back on them. Like a steel trap, her mind is. And she was playing 11D-dimensional chess with them. That's what she was doing there. Well, that's very true. Hung like Jesus, pointing out, you have an idiot for a boss, you'll have idiot employees. Yeah, it's just like the old question about elephant standing on the turtle. What does the turtle stand on? Well, it's turtles all the way down, ma'am. It's idiots all the way down in this administration. Earther pointing out, I guess what Hillary and Obama and Bernie would do different than Haley is that they would discuss deep issues in great detail over the phone. Wouldn't discuss deep issues in great detail over the phone. Ron in Raleigh, meanwhile, says, I got two words for you. Fake news. Yeah, that's how the Republicans will spin this. Fake news. Right.
No, that's it. Could be new sanctions on February. It's possible too.
Right, right. If we don't see any improvement, those sanctions will continue.
Yeah, correct. And then one more matter in Russian Nord Stream 2, and we believe that Nord Stream is a very harmful project. Dangerous.
Ah, you got that. We believe that North Korea is a wary, harmful project. Wary. Maybe that's what it is. It's their Polish accent. That's what it is. That's where the wearies are coming from.
For the security of the Central Europe, it may kill Ukraine as it will stop being...
No, the what? Okay, I thought he said North Korea. It's a little thick, the accent is.
Right, right. If we don't see any improvement, those sanctions will continue.
Yeah, correct. And then one more matter in Russian Nord Stream 2. And we believe that Nord Stream is a very harmful project, dangerous for the security of the Central Europe. It may kill Ukraine as it will stop being gas transiting country. And Poland may be again under the threat of harsh pricing from Gazprom and Russia.
Oh, it's a pipeline project.
Unfortunately, Russia is supported by German and other European countries. May we find countries balanced with the help of the U.S. and the U.N.?
Well,
meanwhile, Jeff in Hill Hole, Indiana adds, but her emails, Benghazi, Bruga, Bruga, Bruga. Yeah, I know.
I'm happy to look into that and see if we can get you some more clarification on that one.
So it's a problem for us.
Yes, no, that's helpful to know that.
Yeah, it's very helpful to know that that's a problem for you. But we'll try to get you some clarification because I'm totally believing everything that's going on here. Because I'm a simpleton. I got no business in this job. I have no idea what I was doing. Last thing I was doing was running the state of South Carolina and not doing a very good job of that because South Carolina can't get along without a huge amount of, welfare from the federal government. So all I got to do is sit back and cash the checks. But we'll get you some clarification on that. That's That's what we'll do, dadgummit. You fellas want to come over to, you fellas want to come over for some barbecue? Maybe for some shrimp and grits?
Yeah, it's a big point. I just tried to let you know.
Okay.
And can the U.S. put pressure on Western Europe to give up the Russian project? I mean, on the level of the UN.
Hey, here's a fun thing to think about for you. This just came in from Robert in Australia. I'm sure Nikki had the cone of silence lowered at her end to ensure no one could overhear what was being said. And the only, my only question is, was this stuff direct to air? Or was it, I mean, it's up on YouTube now. Was it direct to air? Were there people sitting in Moscow traffic, laughing Slavically at the foolishness, or did they just save it for later? Because I don't hear it, because there's no commercial breaks. You'd almost think it was, I don't know, maybe it's is Mother Russia public radio. Who knows? Yeah, Steve, that's true. Steve says, this will never appear on Fox News. Of course not. Where never is heard a discouraging word, and the maggots aren't idiots all day.
Okay. Well, no, and that's helpful to know, and we'll certainly, I'll bring attention to this as well.
Thank you. Thank you so much, dear Ambassador. We're also concerned about persecution of Poroshenko against Saakashvili, because Mr. Saakashvili came from Poland to Ukraine, and I think it is shameful for the former president that he is called the Russian spy, because he went against the president of Ukraine and he has to flee from the Ukrainian intelligence and to be under arrest for several days. We urge you to support Mr. Saakashvili and prevent Ukrainian authorities to conduct a legal trial on him. Do you understand that it's a purely political case?
Right.
I'm sure that it's a political case.
Okay, I'm glad you're sure there, Opie, Andy, sure. But can I just point out that we are almost 10 minutes into this phone call, and it's just a sort of wandering, neighborly little gossip blab fest, and at no point in time does Nikki Haley sound like she's got anything in the world to do except to talk to this guy that she thinks is the prime minister. I'm just guessing. But if you're the chief diplomat of the United States to the United Nations, at some point in time, would you look up and ask yourself, gee, I wonder why he isn't directing these questions to the United States ambassador to, you know, Poland? Which Nikki isn't. By the way, maybe we've got an answer in that. The last time we had an ambassador present credentials to the Polish government, it was September the 24th, 2015, and that was Paul W. Jones, ambassador extraordinary and plenipotentiary to Poland. Before that, it was Stephen Mull in 2012. Lee Feinstein before that. Victor Ashe under the Bush administration. And I'm just looking at Wikipedia, but you kind of presume that it's going to be up to date. The Trump administration hasn't gotten around to nominating an ambassador to Poland. Just kind of like we don't have a U.S. ambassador to South Korea right now either. Yeah. Yeah, Arthur. One more thing, Ambassador. Live from Moscow, it's Pravda Funny Live! I know. on advice of counsel, Steve, I choose not to answer that question on the grounds that it might tend to incriminate me. James says, it's morphed. It is now simply a project aimed at turning Americans into buffoons. I know. Major leap. Oh, we're going to find that out in short order, Brother Deacon Asa. More research from the crack research team in the Horn fact-checking department. The icing on the cake for all of this buffoonery is that the Polish Prime Minister is a fucking woman named Beata Maria Stidio. They really made an ass out of this half-aware imbecile. Oh, they did. They did. They so did. And they made an ass out of her for 30 long minutes. Which we haven't even fully explored yet.
Yes, I think that, you know, we tend to stay out of the political sides of that, but I'll certainly just make sure that your concerns are heard and let them know that it's something that you're watching and that you care about.
And I'm also interested how the U.S. could help the Poland in the UN and during our cooperation.
I think that, first of all, obviously, whatever issues Joanna finds that she wants to push in the Security Council and any issues that she thinks will be important to Poland, we will always try and support those. And so as soon as she knows more of the issues that she wants to, you know, really work on or deal with, I know that her presidency, I believe, is in May. And so in May is when you will have the opportunity to really plan the program of work and decide what the calendar is going to look like. And so we'll certainly support her in every way that we can to make sure that your issues are heard and that you know where we stand on those issues.
We are ready to help you to work together in May. I mean, so we are absolutely ready. And in many cases, in the Syrian case and many other, and especially with Israel cases. So you can trust us.
Well, and that's very helpful. And I did tell Joanna that since this is new for Poland, the U.S. is there to assist and help in making sure the transition to the Security Council goes very well. So please don't hesitate to call us with any questions or any ask of assistance, and we'll be happy to help.
I'm really pleased for your answers. And one more matter.
They've got their shtick down. I'm blessed for your answer. Now, let's remember that Poland has taken a decidedly rightward shift, a fascist shift, in the last couple of years when Marcus Aurelius visited a few months back. There were, in the well-placed, adoring, cheering crowds, you may have even seen a few Confederate flags flying, because Nazis and fascists in Poland know they can't fly the Hakenkreuz. What they can fly, however, as a stand-in that everybody understands to be a fascist stand-in, is the American Confederate flag. Yeah, I was thinking about that, Ron. Ron asks, wouldn't you love to be a fly on the wall when Nimrata and Dolt 45 have a serious discussion about this call? I can't believe you got taken in by a couple of morning zoo crew assholes. I mean, I always know when it's Howard Stern and he's calling me. Because they say, hey, it's Howard Stern calling. I did like 37 interviews with him. That's when I told him about my sexual Vietnam. Believe me, they were great interviews. Because I do great interviews. I only have the best interviews.
Is Alan Binomo?
Wait. We got to back up. We got to have the full setup on this. I'd forgotten about this. Remember the mention earlier in the program of that African country that that Dolt 45 invented, Nambia? Remember Nambia? Yeah. I also mentioned Groucho Marx and Fredonia. Yeah. Fake countries. Well, so is the island nation of Bonomo. Bonomo. But, you know, there's so many islands with so many little poor brown people on it. How's a hard-working Southern Belle UN ambassador supposed to just keep track of all of them? I mean, one day they're there, and the next day they're drowned under rising sea levels that aren't really there because climate change is a cruel Chinese hoax to destroy our manufacturing. And, who can tell, right? Pay attention.
Well, so please don't hesitate to call us with any questions or any ask of assistance, and we'll be happy to help.
I'm really pleased for your answers. And one more matter is island Binomo. It's not far from Vietnam in the South China Sea, you know.
You know, right? Yeah, because we've all seen the lovely photographs of the resort beaches of Bonomo in the South China Sea off the coast of Vietnam. This is a giant giveaway. Apparently she doesn't have a world atlas on her desk. Yes, Clarity, with an observation. I agree wholeheartedly. She, Clarity pointing out, she's a sieve. Yeah, yes. But she's one of these fools that instead of saying, no, I'm not familiar with that, you care to update me? Or maybe, no, I'm sorry, there's no such island. Who the fuck are you? I've had about enough of this bullshit. I put up with it because I knew you were fake all along. Now, I guess there's a 1% chance this isn't really Nimrata Haley. But I will tell you this. Before I decided to run this, I got me some audio of Nimrata Haley because it was kind of easy to come by. being as how she was in a snit recently at the UN. Here's some Nimrata audio, just for comparison's sake.
Thank you, Mr. President. To its shame, the United Nations has long been a hostile place for the state of Israel. Both the current and the previous Secretary Generals have objected to the UN's disproportionate focus on Israel. It's a wrong that undermines the credibility of this institution. And that, in turn, is harmful.
Satisfied? I am. Note coming in from Scott and Punky. Question, cui bono. On one level, the call to Nikki Haley was a dumb radio prank call. When you dig deeper or look higher, there's likely way more to it. Is Trump enlisting Putin to undermine Haley so Trump can bring in a UN ambassador who's more pliable? Perhaps the radio guys were put up to it simply to make Trump look stupid by virtue of having picked Haley for the post. Lots of questions about the whos and the whys behind this. Oh, yeah. But, hey, no. Nimrata Haley has been posited as the preferred replacement as soon as Trump can, you know, figure out a way to get rid of Rexon Tillerson. Really? She'd love to be Secretary of State. Think about that for a minute. Yeah. Todd pointing out Haley and Mulvaney. What a wonderful duo we have presented to the country from the state of South Carolina. Remember, Nikki Haley mandated that every state employee answer the phone with the greeting, "It's a great day in South Carolina." The Nikki Haley call is funny at first, but for me it's very painful and frightening. We should all be alarmed. This is unbelievable. The madness is painful to watch. Yeah, it is, Todd. It is. It's frightening. It's not just, as Clarity said, it's not just that she's a sieve. It's that this entire administration is a sieve. And sometimes they weren't a sieve, they were a faucet. Remember back when we had a really, really good cross-examiner on the Senate Judiciary Committee, a fellow by the name of Al Franken, and he showed up every Democrat member of that committee by so thoroughly cross-examining Jefferson Davis Beauregard Sessions III, not once but twice, that he was able to prove that Sessions is in fact a hopeless liar and arguably a perjurer before Congress. I mean, it's thorn in the side Thursday and everything here at the Horn. But I'm not presenting this to you just for laughs. Because, like Scott says, it's funny at first. But when you start to think about it, it seems to develop its own little miasma of existential dread, doesn't it? Back to Bonomo. I'm surprised these guys didn't say that it was off the coast of Namibia. That would have given it away, though, wouldn't it?
Young case and many other, and especially with the Israel cases. So you can trust us.
Well, and that's very helpful. And I did tell Joanna that since this is new for Poland, the U.S. is there to assist and help in making sure the transition to the Security Council goes very well. So please don't hesitate to call us with any questions or any ask of assistance.
We will call you
lots. We'll be happy to help.
I'm really pleased for your answers. And one more matter is Alan Bonomo. It's not far from Vietnam in the South China
Vietnam.
Sea, you know.
Okay.
You know Binh Noma?
Yes, yes.
They declared independence.
Right.
They had elections, and we suppose Russian had its intervention.
Yes, of course they did. Absolutely.
And now the...
Oh! Okay, maybe these guys are bigger pros than I thought they were, because unless you've got a cough switch and so that you can mute and just, you know, laugh for a couple of... They kept a straight face on this. You know Binh Noma. Off the coast of Vietnam. They declared independence. We assume Russia intervened or interfered. Yes, of course.
This Binh Noma land makes the situation in the South China Sea even more tense.
And we're aware of that, and we've been watching that very closely, and I think we'll continue to watch that as we deal with the issues that keep coming up about the South China Sea.
Oh, you stupid, lying fool. We've been watching that. Absolutely.
Yes, that's correct. What should be done because of this Binh Noma?
Let me find out exactly what our stance is on that and if what, if anything, the U.S. is doing or thinks should be done, and I will report back to you on that as well.
And what is your view?
You know, I can't speak without getting the administration's view on it. Let me find out from them, and then I'll get back to you.
What do you think about Binh Noma? It's a B-I-N-O-M-E-O. I mean, Binh Noma. You know that?
Goddamn, they spell it for her. So that she can maybe... are they feeling sorry for her now? Practically begging her to Google Binh Noma? So that she can find out that she's being punked? Jeff from Hell Hole, Indiana. Good one, Bob. You just said Trump, Haley, and serious conversation in the same sentence. At least you didn't suggest they'd have an intelligent conversation. That would have made me spit out my coffee and ruin my keyboard. Well, we don't want anybody doing that, Jeff. Although I've been known to spit take a few monitors here as well. It does happen. Scott and Punky, here's my fearless forecast. It comes to Nikki Haley as Secretary of State. Then a bunch of additional dumb moves by Trump. We're all going to wind up like the courtroom scene in the Kane Mutiny. We'll all be dazed with wide eyes, frantically hand-juggling steel balls in one hand, and got them with the strawberries, while ranting incoherently some nonsense about missing keys and frozen strawberries. We're not far from it. B-I-N-O-M-E-O. You know Binh Noma? People who know Binh Noma.
Right. No, I mean, I think our concern is everything that's going on in the South China Sea and the influence that continues to push that way. Our goal is to make sure that it stays intact and that, you know, we don't see intrusion or any sort of bullying in terms of that. So I know that we have,
Our goal is a river of beer flowing over your grandmother's paisley shawl. South China Sea. The Chinese are, you know, there's Chinese incursions and trying to claim more territorial coverage of the South China Sea and the Sea of Japan. And it's a real sore spot. There's potential for trouble there. And these guys just made it worse. No, they didn't make it worse. A competent UN ambassador would never have taken the call in the first place. But I'm getting a call from the Prime Minister of Poland. Look at me. Someday I'm going to be our first woman president. Yes. Imagine that.
put him on.
Clarence pointing out, subject line, UN ambassador, Bob, I only have a GED. The Spratly Islands with and Paracel chain are being contested. Bonomo one of those, Clarence? I'm guessing not. No.
Supposed to be having White House meetings on all issues with the South China Sea coming forward, and so I think we'll have more answers at that time.
Yeah, you can see her lifting the cone of silence, looking over to her assistant, saying,
get the White House on the blower. Tell them we've got some new information on Bonomo. This is going to be a real feather in my cap with Trump. He can go out and give a... He can talk about it on the way to the helicopter or something, and then people won't think he don't know nothing about no foreign policy no more.
And I should you to aware that you should be you should keep in safety your consulate, sir.
Okay.
I think.
Yes.
And I don't know what Putin will make with that, because it's a really dangerous issue.
Yes, it's really dangerous issue. You need to take care of security of your consulate there in Bonomo, the island that does not exist, where there is no consulate. You take care for security. Marines, semper fi.
Okay, there's a connection. Asa says, this is fucking Borat Sagadiev in real life. I think I heard the guy snicker near the end there. Oh. No, this is Bugs Bunny walking away going, oh, what a maroon. What a non-com poop. Oh, Margaret.
No, and that's what we're watching carefully, is we're very aware.
So that's my just a point. And I just want to ask you, will Putin be so aggressive regarding the Europe in next year? I'm just worried about that.
Will Putin be as aggressive in Europe next year as he has been in Bonomo? I'm just worried about it. Hung like Jesus pointing out, Bob, you know, this is a reflection on every one of us that call ourselves American. Yeah, it is. I suggest anyone going abroad either wear a shirt with a Canadian maple leaf on it, or else, remember, there were T-shirts that you could wear back during the Reign of Error that were written in the three official languages written in the official languages of the UN that all said the same thing. It's not my fault. I didn't vote for Trump. Bush. I didn't vote for Bush. Bush is an idiot. It's not my fault. Is it time that we made some T-shirt? Hey, maybe we could do some fundraising on that. Oh, I promised. Fundraising free week. Never mind. Didn't happen. Sorry. My bad. Steve noting, we don't want the South China Sea to break apart and start flowing in different directions. Well, absolutely. I'm still waiting for somebody to... Really? You guys? Not one single... they'll see the big board reference? Yeah, I think you're right. Arthur says at some point he's trying to help her, trying to get caught. A prank is only funny if it's revealed, kind of. Yeah. Bonomo. Yes. Bonomo.
Well, you know, it's hard to know what Russia is doing right now. I think what we have seen in the Security Council and otherwise is They are trying to be relevant in every region, and they're trying to have some sort of say in every region. In some cases, it has worked for them, and in some cases, it hasn't. So they don't have the influence that I think they would like to have, but they're certainly trying to get that. And I think that many of the other countries, whether it's the Security Council or otherwise, are watching it very cautiously and carefully to make sure that they don't get too much of a foothold where they can cause chaos.
Because, you know, they've already caused enough in the United States. Yeah, we don't know what the Russians are really up to. We do now. They were busy making an ass out of our UN ambassador. But make no mistake, she'll brazen through it. She won't resign in shame. Oh no. And by the way, going back to the whole confirmation process, Clarence points out the Senate confirmation process did not do any vetting of appointees. This was a classic repay of big donors and installing political lackeys that can be controlled. We're living in a very dangerous time. Stupidity, chaos, and confusion should be the motto for the Trump administration. I agree. Good God. Anybody else? Well, one, the clarion call for the resignation of any Obama appointee who did something like this would be so loud you could hear it on the moon. She won't resign. Wait and see. Wait and see. So what do you think Pooty Poot's take will be on this? Will he offer them up as sacrifices for embarrassing dear friend Donald Trump? Or will he, give him a raise or maybe a Ferrari or something? Hard to tell with him sometimes. Is it off to the gulag or a nice new, brand new Dasha? Jesus God. Well, there's not too much more of this. Clarence chiming in. I think Clemson University should refund Miss Haley. The international affairs and geography courses she took did not prepare for her at all. What a disgrace. Well, they all are, though, aren't they? I have one question, says Ron in Raleigh. Does Nimrata have any semblance of shame? I wouldn't be able to look myself in the face. This is what makes Republicans Republican. Meanwhile, Scott points out, I see lots of people wearing light gray T-shirts bearing the crest and official slogan of the University of Bonomo and the legend, property of the University of Bonomo Athletic Department. You know, we could have a lot of fun just coming up with a crest for Bonomo and a great seal and the capital city, something along the lines of a university motto, maybe in Latin or Greek or Russian. Hung like Jesus says, Bob, I was waiting on her to invite him to a fish fry to get some low country education. Hey, Jim, the phones don't work, buddy. You cannot call in. You absolutely, it goes straight to voicemail every time. I'm going to keep working on it, but that's kind of where we are. Bill in Allentown wants me to says you should think about calling it Maroon Mondays, just a suggestion to deal with the Tangerine Tiberius and his minions. Oh, no, they're morons. This too shall pass. That or the planet will get roasted either way. No sense in changing it for this bunch of doofuses. Yeah, back to Bonomo.
I really worry about our membership next year. And we will be members as like Russia. And I'm just really worried about our country. So how we will work with this aggressive member?
Well, just know that we'll continue to work with you. They are aggressive and they can be difficult to work with on the council. But, you know, the Security Council very much tries to be united where we can. And when we see something wrong, we try and call it out. And so there can be some difficult issues and they do try and cause some disruption. But I think we do continue to try and work with them to make sure that doesn't happen.
So I hope we can unite against Russia in the next year in our council.
See, that's scary. Because her answer is going to be a pronouncement of official U.S. foreign policy. She thinks she's talking to someone from Poland who just asked her to team up with Poland against the Russians. See what they mean when they say that whatever the outcome is, the goal is merely to sow chaos? Yeah. I wonder what the answer is going to be, don't you? Silent R. Lamar says, hey, Bob, don't you see their plan, the Republican plan, giving our enemy a false sense of security? They want an enemy to think we're as stupid as Trump cabinet members. Yeah, that's 11D-dimensional chess, Lamar, and I don't think they're playing it. Let's find out what the answer to the question is. Will you team up with Poland against the Ruskies?
We will be happy to continue working with you on all the issues that come up and work together in every situation that we possibly can.
Yes, I hope so. And because I just really worked and I spoke with our president and I spoke with our representative in the UN and they told that the situation around Russia is crazy.
And by the way, can I just point out that Europe threw itself into an abattoir that cost tens of millions of lives over one archduke getting shot in Sarajevo? You know who else has a right to be pissed off about this? The Poles. Now, that would be some chaos that that sweet, lovable, huggable, cuddleable, never-been-ponerized Vladimir Putin could sink his fangs, I mean teeth, into, don't you think? And with this, I mean, I'm not trying to alarm anybody. But this is the kind of... we had that article maybe more than a year ago where the historian pointed out that huge blow-ups come from little itsy-bitsy, teeny-tiny, nothings. And the next thing you know, the world's on fire. Is this one of those? We don't know. We don't know. So I'll tell you what we're going to do. I'm going to take a little break. Play a little music. We got the Green News Report coming from Brad Friedman and Desi Doyen. They took Tuesday off, but they're here this evening. I mean, they're not here. You know what I mean. But we got the Green News Report, and we're going to come back and finish off this exercise in national embarrassment. How does this happen? Will anybody call for a hearing? Now, we spent a few bajillion dollars investigating her emails, Benghazi. You reckon we could drop a $1.49 to call her before the Senate Foreign Relations Committee and get a few answers about how she could be so absolutely brass-bound, goddamn, dumb, stupid, idiotic, foolish to get suckered into something like this? I don't know. Why don't you go and check and see who the chair of the Senate Foreign Relations Committee is and then get back with me on the likelihood of, you know, that ever happening. All right, break time. This is Conversation Radio, a fundraising-free final week of 2017 of it. And I'm Bob Kincaid. We'll be back.
Thank you. It's Thursday, December 28, 2017.
Freezing Arctic winds have turned the Great Lakes into massive snow machines.
2017 leaves a parting gift, record snowfall in Pennsylvania. Meanwhile,
they didn't have time to save this home. While they were trying, though, the heat melted some of their hoses.
Southern California's Thomas Fire is now the largest in state history. 2017 to rank among the top three hottest years ever recorded, plus...
Things take longer to happen than you think they will, but then they happen much faster than you thought they ever could.
Al Gore says the clean energy revolution is unstoppable, no matter what Trump does.
All of those stories and more straight ahead. From BradBlog.com, I'm Brad Friedman.
And I'm Desi Doyen.
Stand by for 6 minutes of independent green news, politics, analysis, and snarky comment.
You have two options, basically. You can curl up in a fetal position and fall into despair.
I'll take that one. This is your year-end Green News Report.
I'm gonna soak up the sun.
Okay, Desi Doyen, the fire we've been watching out west here in Southern California is now the largest in state history. And meanwhile, out east, unbelievable snowfall.
Yes, 2017 walloped Erie, Pennsylvania with a parting gift, a record-shattering 60 inches of snow, about half of Erie's average yearly snowfall dumped in just 2 days, breaking the state snowfall record. Now, the exact influence of climate change on this specific storm will take time to determine, but it is in line with climate science predictions that, yes, global warming will generate greater snowfall totals in certain types of storms.
5 feet of snow?
5 feet in 2 days.
Yes, it's climate change.
In Southern California, as you mentioned, the Thomas Fire in Ventura and Santa Barbara counties has now grown to be the largest wildfire in state history. And that's even more remarkable because it is a winter wildfire during what is supposed to be California's rainy season. But there hasn't been any rain. Meanwhile, both NASA and NOAA predict that 2017 will likely clock in as either the second or third warmest year ever recorded after 2015 and 2016, and that is also stunning in a year without an El Nino to boost global temperatures.
And a year without a Santa Claus.
2017 has been a record year of extreme weather events in the United States, including a record 3 Category 4 and 5 hurricanes wreaking destruction, plus record wildfires in Montana and California. But here's the good news.
Well, take your time.
As Joe Rome over at climateprogress.org says, quote, 2017 showed that the global clean energy revolution is unstoppable. The price of solar energy continues to plummet. In 2017, the price of solar fell 26% over last year alone. Wind energy prices have dropped 24% from last year. And in many areas, wind and solar energy are the cheapest sources of energy without government subsidies. Battery storage in 2017 moved into market position. Battery prices have dropped 75% since 2010 alone, and ranges for electric cars have doubled this year. Tesla unveiled an all-electric semi-truck with a 500-mile range, and Tesla's battery farm in South Australia, built in just 3 months, has already prevented blackouts. 2017 also marked the beginning of the end of the internal combustion engine. Some of the largest economies in the world announced they are phasing out cars that run on fossil fuels, and they will shift to all-electric and hybrid cars. India, France, the United Kingdom, and the world's largest car market, China.
And pretty much all of the major car manufacturers have now said they are moving to electric.
Yes, they announced they are electrifying their lineups all within the next 10 years.
And remember, they used to laugh at Al Gore when he said, "We will be doing away with the internal combustion engine."
Toyota's not laughing. They just announced in December they will offer an electric or hybrid version of all of their models by 2025. Of course, progress in clean energy is not enough to halt climate change without aggressive government policies, which seems unlikely with the Trump administration.
You think?
But speaking of Al Gore, in a recent interview on the broadcast with guest host Angie Coiro, former Vice President Al Gore offered a call to action.
You have two options, basically. You can curl up in a fetal position and fall into despair, or you can work on expanding the limits of what is politically feasible. It's a race. The problem's getting worse, faster than we feared. But the solutions are developing faster than we hoped, and they're gaining momentum. The world, I believe, is in the early stages of a sustainability revolution that has the magnitude of the industrial revolution, but the speed of the digital revolution.
Let's hope he's right. Whether it's in time to save the world, especially with Donald Trump trying to destroy it, that's a whole different question. For much more on all of these reports and the full interview with Al Gore, please check out our website at greennews.bradblog.com. My thanks to those of you who stopped by bradblog.com/donate to help the Green News Report continue into 2018. Here's to a happy and peaceful new year, and we'll see you in 2018. I'm Brad Friedman.
And I'm Desi Doyen.
And this has been your year-end Green News Report.
Right here, right now, watching the world wake up from history. Right here, right now.
I love that song. 7 minutes past the hour on this Thorn in the Side Thursday on the Horn. And we've been going through the Nimrata Haley punk tape. By the way, what makes this worse? You were probably thinking, wait, I've heard something like this before. And you're right. Because these guys did it to Rick Perry, too. And they did it to John McCain. And they did it to Maxine Waters. The Rick Perry one was a particular gem because they got him to get into an extended conversation of pig manure-based biofuels. Yes. So they, you know, they even had warning that these guys do these things. Once bitten, twice shy? No, not so much. Putin, Russia, will we help Poland gang up on Russia? That's where we were, isn't it?
It's crazy.
It is very. But we manage them, and we continue to remind them what their place is. And so it's a daily battle, but it's something that we continue to fight for.
Oh, the Russians are going to love hearing that. We remind them what their place is. We put them in their place. Jim tells me that he is absolutely convinced that this is an FSB SIGINT action Putin authorized. Why not?
Yes, and I also worry about the elections. I hope that we can change something during the elections in Russia. I mean, that's because Putin would like to go on the next term, and it's pretty dangerous for next our cooperation.
Oh, goody. They're going to get her to say something about whether or not Pootie Poot should run for another term as president or whether he's a dictator. Because here in the last couple of days, you might have noticed that the Russians are claiming that the United States interfered with their electoral process by pointing out that they just had the only guy who was a viable candidate against Putin arrested and banned from running for office under a bullshit statute. Right.
No, and we agree with that completely. So, I agree. That's something we're all watching. It looks like that there's not going to be any issues with the election, but we're still watching it.
Yeah, thank you for your support. Anyway, and I'm pleased that you found a time and that's heavy day. And I saw that what happened in the UN on assembly today, and it was in next year I hope that we can make a new resolution and we can support absolutely the US. And so huge. Yeah.
Well, we certainly appreciate that, and we really do look...
He's running out of gas, isn't he?
...look forward to working with you and look forward to working together as we try and get some things done.
Can't you see Nimrata's well-manicured blood-red nails as she looks over to her assistant and does the universal sign for won't shut up, you know, with the thumb and the fingers together. Yak, 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 yak. These people I have to put up with because I'm in such an important position. Oh, my stars and garters. I didn't know it was going to be like this.
You should know that now we're upset, but next year we could vote for your resolution. And I know that EU press on us. You know that this is also hard.
Yes. Well, no, we certainly appreciate what you did today, and we'll continue to try and work with you as we go forward. But
now, remember, this is the same day as the resolution condemning moving the embassy to Jerusalem. Now, that was a busy day, and she was hectoring and lecturing the UN, and still she had time to take this call for 30 minutes. And by the way, we thank you for what you did today. You know what Poland did, right? They abstained. They didn't vote in favor of the United States. They abstained. Well, we thank you for what you did today. Jesus Christ.
But, you know, even if you couldn't vote, the fact that you were at least not voting against us really was important to us.
Yes, it was also important for us because, you know, the problem is only EU management. And
right.
I spoke with Juncker. And
see what's going on here? I mean, again, this is one of those moments where you realize it's gone past being a prank call. This is attempting to sow discord between the U.S. and its European allies, which, again, is a stated policy goal of Russia. Always has been. Some of this ain't rocket science.
He asked me, do not vote for this resolution.
Well, please let him know how much we appreciate that, and it will go a long way. The president asked for the list of those that didn't vote against us, and it will be a list that is always remembered.
How about that? He's a vindictive, petty little tin pot despot who will base his actions on a single UN vote. Never mind the fact that he's going to need the collective goodwill of the UN to deal with, North Korea. Oops. Sure, it's a prank. But it's a prank with deadly serious ramifications.
Yes, and I also aware that some media shows that you put on a blacklist countries that did not support the resolution.
Well, I think what you're going to see is there were 65 countries that did not go against the United States. And so those countries, when it comes time, you know, those are obviously countries we'll look favorable on. And then the other countries, you know, when they come asking for something, it is a list that the president will be looking at before he makes a decision.
And they won't get no invitations to the barbecue down to Fair Oaks. You know who else was into chaos? Remember the phrase, deconstructing government? Yeah, this is some Bannon business.
At the end of our conversation, to speak not only about politics.
You only thought Bonomo was good. Wait.
Have you read today's shocking interview of Mr. Poroshenko?
Because, you know, after you talk politics and policy and everything, because, you know, we're all just buddies up here. And, you know, let's gossip a little bit, shall we?
I have not. I will pull it up, though.
From Ukrainian president.
Yes, I'll have to pull it up.
And he said that in 2015, Kevin Spacey visited Ukraine.
Is that right?
Yeah, that was funny.
That's during funny. that's funny. Yeah.
And during official dinner, he started to touch the knee of the president.
Oh, really?
Really? He did that? Oh, my. He touched the knee. It's Kevin Spacey. Did. Oh, my.
Yeah. And it is crazy.
It is
crazy. Oh, that's funny. I'll have to pull up that interview.
Oh, that's funny.
Yeah, that's true. And even the president became a victim of this maniac.
Oh, my goodness. Okay.
Yeah. And Poroshenko decided to disclose this just now. And he said that it crushed his state of mind and he started to abuse alcohol, but now he's better.
This is, of course, the sworn enemy of Vladimir Putin that he's now alleging was rendered an alcoholic by having been sexually harassed by Kevin Spacey.
Nikki's just taking it all in. Yes, yes. I mean, because, you know, I mean, what? Come on. What Southern girl hasn't done a little bit of gossip in here and there? I mean, could you believe that? Kevin Spacey putting his hand on the knee of the president of Ukraine? My goodness gracious. Oh, my. What will they say? What will they say?
Wow, that's interesting.
Yeah, I just advise you to read it.
No, I'm definitely going to pull that up and read it. That yes, sounds very interesting, so I will certainly do that.
Do you know?
One more. Oh, they're trying so hard.
Oh, the Kevin Spacey.
I know of him, and I've seen his things, but I don't know him.
You've seen his things, Nikki? You've seen Kevin Spacey's things? When did you see Kevin Spacey's things, Ambassador? And where? And were you alone with Kevin Spacey when you saw his things? Hung like Jesus. Bob, why wasn't this a bigger story? Well, it just broke today. So, it may yet be one. Yeah, I've only seen his things.
Personally.
Okay, but I think it's crazy.
It's a crazy.
Yes, no, it's hard to know. It's a strange time, but I don't know him personally, but we certainly do hear stories.
Stop it, I'm jellyish.
No, I just read your interview before, and
okay.
And it was against this harassment, and I agree and I support that. So anyway. And by the way, our former prime minister, Beata Szydlo, former prime minister of Poland, told me that she was harassed by Mr. Trump in 2012.
No, he didn't go there. He really didn't just go there. He went there. Hear that again.
Do you know the Kevin Spacey?
That I know true? Of him. I know of him, and I've seen his things, but I don't know him personally.
Okay.
Now check out the beat, the moment of silence before he goes in for the really outrageous stuff.
But I think that's crazy.
Yes. No. It's hard to know. It's a strange time, but I don't know him personally. But we certainly do hear stories.
No, I just read your interview before, and
okay.
And it was against this harassment, and I agree and I support that. So anyway. And by the way, our former prime minister, Beata Szydlo, former prime minister of Poland, told me that she was harassed by Mr. Trump in 2012.
Really?
Yes, yeah. She told me that.
Wow.
So I. Yeah, but maybe it's like a, I don't know what is, like, it's modern to accuse people in that.
Right. No, it's an interesting time and a lot of accusations coming forward, but, you know, we'll continue. We're trying to stay as focused as we can and continue to push forward. to get some things done.
Yeah, correct. And it's fashionable. And now she feels sorry that she rejected him in a rude manner.
Oh, wow. Well, that might have been what was needed. So we'll...
Oh, my God. Now she feels bad that she rejected him in a rude manner. And she says, maybe that's what was needed? In other words, Nikki Haley believes that Donald Trump has a tendency to sexually harass women. Holy smokes. Nimrata, ma'am, avoid at all costs. Avoid small aircraft. Jesus God.
We'll leave it at that.
Okay, how we can connect to you in future?
So feel free to call me anytime at this number, and anytime you need to connect, anytime you need to reach me, I will make a point to be available.
Okay. Yeah, okay.
All right.
Yeah, sure.
Well, thank you so much, and I appreciate the call.
Not half as much as they do, Nimrata, not half as much as they do. I guess this isn't getting as much play as I've given it, but certainly seemed to deserve it. Maybe, well, I don't know. I can't speak for why. Oh, well, one of my coal-burning neighbors has stoked up the stove real nice. It is about 23 minutes past the hour. And a reminder, because Skype is 17 shades of screwed up, if you want to reach the program, I have to call you. I saw John from Central PA calling in a minute ago, and I have returned his call. Hey, John.
Hey, Bob. What's up, man?
Yeah, sorry for the screwed up method of it, but that's what we got to do right now. No, I saw your call come in. What's happening?
Not too much, man. Just recovering from a surgery that I had yesterday.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
You okay?
Yeah, I had umbilical hernia.
Oh, yeah.
Belly button hernia.
Yeah, I know what those are.
Yeah, it's kind of sucked that I had to get surgery to get rid of it, but, you know, it is what it is. Yeah, it's not fun, man. It's not fun at all. The meds they gave me aren't worth a damn. And, yeah, it's just, you know, it just hurts right where the incision was. But
oh, I can imagine.
Other than that, man, just, I saw a series the other day on Netflix about something that I had no idea happened. I had no clue, never learned about it. You know, if I wouldn't have watched the series, I probably may have never even known about it. But the series is Hatfield and McCoys.
Oh, I've seen it. Yeah.
Because I'm sure you know all about all that shit because it happened. Because the Hatfields were in, I guess, West Virginia,
and the McCoys were across the river in Kentucky. Yes.
Yeah, and you know that's crazy how that happened. That went on for like what, 30 years or something?
Well, yeah, but you have to understand you have to understand that that's merely the most well known of the feuds. Eastern Kentucky and Southern West Virginia were practically war zones for about oh, 40 to 50 years after the end of the Civil War.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, there were a lot of grudges and vengeances worked out over who fought on which side. The murder rate was astonishing. It's it's breathtaking when you see the actual numbers.
And they got away with it, man. Nobody ever really, you know. Well, I guess a lot of the Hatfields did serve time for their crimes, but they were pretty much like a gang. I mean, both families were pretty much a gang, but the Hatfields more so, from what this series kind of laid out. I mean, they sort of portrayed it a little wrong, though, because they kind of portray it as though Randall McCoy and Devil Ants Hatfield were around the same age. They were not. Devil Ants was significantly younger than Randall McCoy. So even though they did serve together in the war, during the war, sort of, none of them were really officially, like, enlisted in any kind of army or anything, but I guess they were more or less militia and mercenary.
The term used was bushwhackers.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I wasn't really sure. But, yeah, they weren't really affiliated with any, but they were definitely pro-Confederate, even though McCoy's family had a couple of family members that were actually United States soldiers. So I guess actually pretty much what kicked off the feud was Randall McCoy's brother was a Yankee, and he was came back into town, went into town for something and didn't have a coat, so he decided that, well, the only coat he had was his uniform coat, so he was wearing it, and I guess Devil Lance's family members, namely that Jim Vance guy, who I don't know if he was actually related to him or not, but he did because he was calling his uncle, he fucking killed the guy just because he was a Yankee. I mean, these people, man.
That happened all over Appalachia. I'm not kidding.
That's crazy, isn't it? I can't believe that. That's there's your future Trump voters for you. Or not future Trump voters, but you know what I mean.
No, that
it was pretty cool series, but. So how was your Christmas and
pretty much quiet and uneventful. And yeah. it was nice to be able to do a program Christmas night. And this weekend I'm actually going to have the long weekend because I'm going to watch football on Monday evening.
Oh, nice. I wanted to participate in Christmas on the front porch, but I had forgotten that my brother and sister and I had tickets to go see the new Star Wars. But, you know, I spent 2 days with, you know, my brother, who I don't, you know, see very often. And he's, you know, more like a libertarian. So we got into a little bit of political discussion. He doesn't like Trump. So that's one thing. That's a silver lining, so that's why I'm able to at least consider having a conversation. But when he told me that Nazis were liberals, that's when I got a little bit, I would say...
Yeah, that's when you just sort of walk away from the conversation, yeah.
Oh, yeah, it was pathetic. I mean, I looked at him and said, liberals? I said, first of all, they were warmongers. And he goes, yeah, now you get it, like in a condescending tone, you know what I mean?
Sure,
like he was trying to school me. It's like, I don't know. When I hear that, people try to say that they were, he's like, well, they were socialists. So, you know, he's like, you believe in socialism? They believe in socialism. So what does that say about you? Or something like that.
I can see that ignorance on my Twitter feed and on Facebook just about any day that I care to go on. And you just look at it. You just look at it and you say, hey, you know, stupid people will post stupid things.
Yeah, they will. And it's incredible, man.
Because if you buy, you know, if you buy into the Nazis were socialist bullshit, then you have to view the Second World War as a war between socialists and socialists. Because, of course, the Soviet Union was the Union of Soviet Socialist Republics.
Yeah, it just doesn't make any sense, you know. That argument is so regurgitated. I can just tell that he has... Well, see, he watches that... he follows that Stefan M. something, something, something. You might know who I'm talking about. Others in the Horn family probably know who I'm talking about. I think he's an alleged conservative and you know, always has like right wing stuff, and he was he asked me if I know him, and I was like, yeah. And he's like, why don't you listen to him? I was like, because he's an idiot, because he is. I mean, if you know who I'm talking about, Stefan, I don't know how to spell his last name, or even it starts with an M and ends with an X, I think. But he, at one time, he got caught making a account on YouTube that is supposed to be some conservative woman, and like commented on his own videos, saying stuff like,
I remember that story. Yeah.
Yeah, that kind of thing. Yeah, Sam Cedar. But I told my brother about that, and he's like, oh, yeah, because, you know, no liberals or anything ever do that. He's like, even though I'm pretty damn sure that there's liberals out there pretending to be conservatives and shit and try to make conservatives look bad.
Right, because conservatives can't do that all by themselves.
Exactly. Well, how about that shit with Nikki Haley?
Oh, no, that's what the last 2.5 hours of the program have been.
Right. I caught part of it, and then I had to do something else. But yeah, like, holy shit! See, this is the shit I'm talking about, or this is why I am worried.
They are stupid and proud of it.
They're so fucking stupid, dude. It's just like the judge that they were Senator Kennedy, whoever it was kind of grilling. You remember him, the one that couldn't even answer basic legal questions.
Oh, yeah.
It's like, I showed that to a Trump supporter.
Son, have you ever even watched Perry Mason, Matlock, at Murder, She Wrote, Law and Order, anything, son? Do you know what a courtroom is, son? Could you find your way into a judge's robe? Could you zip it up without hurting yourself, son? Yeah, that guy? Yeah, I remember.
Well, there was somebody commented on something on YouTube, and their comment was, Senator Kennedy holds up a picture of a Klan's robe and another picture of a judge's robe and said, which one of these does the judge wear, or something like that. And another person commented on there, they're all KKK Nazis. So what they were trying to say was they don't care about jurisprudence. They only care about nominating people who are fucking Nazis, who will further through the court, for the federal courts, will further the agenda of the right wing, basically neo-Nazi types. And I think that's about right. It's that's what it's all about. But that guy there, well, I showed that to a Trump supporter friend of mine. You know, I said, you know, I just don't like I don't like the incompetence. And he said, what do you mean incompetence? I was like, the people that he nominates for these positions are incompetent. They don't know anything. And he goes, well, give me an example. And I said, I'll give you an example. And I pulled up that video. He goes, you know what his response was? Well, at least they're not Obama appointees or something like that, or better than Obama's judges. That kind of thing. Bob, their whole ideology is anything that's not Obama, basically, is anti-Obama. That's all they stand for. That's all Republican Party stands for, is everything that's not Obama. that they just want to undo everything Obama has ever done. That's the only thing the Republican Party stands for, is tax cuts for rich and undo everything Obama did. That's the only thing they stand for. And then I love it when people accuse the Democratic Party of having no message and shit. So, I don't know. I'm not very happy, though.
Oh, I understand. And the question, I got a question answered a little earlier. I said, you know, who would, if the Senate Foreign Relations Committee was to have a hearing on this, who would chair it? Well, it would be Bob Corker. Ron and Raleigh said, I'm sure he'll get right on that. I'm sure he'll impanel an investigation real quick.
Well, wasn't it the whole phone call about some country that doesn't even fucking exist?
No.
It was a prank.
It was a prank call based on a couple of jocks from Moscow pretending to be the Prime Minister of Poland.
Yeah, but they asked
her at one point about an island, Bonomo, that does not exist, and told her that Bonomo had declared its independence and that Russia had interfered. And she just lapped it right up.
Yeah, I know. That right there should actually send shockwaves. Fucking shockwaves through the country. People should look at that
I guess the way that they're avoiding a problem is, if you read the news accounts, they'll say things like over at New Yorker magazine, it says, having been reached for comment, a spokesman for Nikki Haley said, "We have nothing further to offer at this time." So she won't admit that it was her, but we all know it was her, because all you got to do is compare the voices, and that's not an impressionist. It was her. We have nothing further to offer at this time. Well, she offered 30 minutes worth of free-form commentary on American foreign policy to a pair of shock jocks in Moscow.
Right. Yeah, no, that right there is scary, because the ambassador to the UN in this crazy world is extremely important position. And this is the kind of shit that people shouldn't fuck around with, man. Like, this is, we as a country, we need to stop this. Something needs to happen, man. We need to stop this. I mean, legally and peacefully, of course, but the fact that people actually voted for that, I mean, that's crazy. I did talk to somebody, a family member who voted for Trump, who is not very happy at all, because he was talking about the whole situation with Trump saying that he was working when he was actually golfing and shit.
Yeah.
And the guy that this fan member of mine was like, that's a bunch of fucking bullshit. If he's gonna golf, but just say that you're golfing, so that kind of it made Trump look bad into this person's, mind. So it takes my breath away, man.
Yeah, I'm looking for the exact quote. Here it is. Asked about the veracity of the recording, Haley's spokesman, John DeGore, told the Post and Courier, "We have nothing to share on that at this time."
Which basically means, it was her. It's, wow. And then, what's this shit about him saying that people from Haiti all have AIDS? People.
Yeah. This is a beautiful tweet. "I've met several binomies over the years who would take issue with your characterization of Bonomo. The binomies are some of the most hospitable folks in the world, and their covfefe ritual is a treat to savor."
My one friend who's a Trump supporter also kind of makes fun of him, too, and he always says about covfefe, which is kind of... It's just, it's a little lightning, because River, it's a little, it makes me feel a little better because then, you know, people aren't so serious about the guy, but some people just, they freaking worship this fucking guy. I don't understand it. Bob, why? Why do they worship this guy? I mean, that one cabinet meeting where they were just fawning over him because he was signing a tax plan.
Oh, he's a billionaire businessman who knows how to make deals, don't you know?
Yeah, right. But it's like, how is he, like Paul Ryan said, that the reason that passed was because of exquisite presidential leadership. It's like, he has the votes. I mean, like, how is that leadership? I mean, now if they needed Democratic votes,
that bill would have passed if a dumpster fire had been president of the United States. And in fact, you can kind of argue that
right.
It is. Yes.
Yeah. There you go.
Here's another comment. Let's see. I had the best banana daiquiri while in Bonomo. You know, that's the stupidest name of a fake island since the Beach Boys turned Kokomo into a Caribbean island.
Yeah, I always wondered that. Is that a fictional island? Okay, I never understood what the fuck they meant by Kokomo. Beach Boys.
Kokomo's a burg in Indiana.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, Beach Boys. You're not talking about the guys who bought a song off of a crazy-ass cult leader neo-Nazi named Charles Manson, are you?
Yeah, the same.
Because you know that they did that, right? They actually bought a song off that.
Yeah, I do. There's Kokomo, Arkansas, Kokomo, Colorado, Kokomo, Hawaii on Maui, Kokomo, Indiana, and Kokomo, Mississippi.
Jeez. So they stole it, basically.
Well, no, they just, you know.
That's crazy, man.
Yeah, it's just something stupid. But if somebody, who is it that does the great song parodies? Rocky Mountain Mike. If he doesn't have a song parody out of Bonomo done to the tune of Kokomo, Toot Sweet. I trust his Mickle powers. I think he will. Anyway, I gotta roll out of here, John. But it's good to hear from you. Listen, I hope you heal up real good. And real fast, and don't have any more pain than is typical, and that recedes very, very quickly, my friend.
Thank you very much.
You take care, John.
Yep.
Bye now.
See you, Bob.
I don't know what those weird little noises are, but then again, Skype is a complete freaking disaster. So, by the way, Asa says, speaking of Covfefe, remember, kids, Kleptronic Candy Cane from Horn Nutraceuticals is made from 100% Namibian Covfefe. It absolutely is. All right, let's see. I'm going to try to reach Scott and Punky here real quick just to close the program out. I'll be honest, I can't feel my toes. It's getting real brutally cold in here. All right, I think we're connected. Hey, Scott.
Hey, let me turn up my volume here. I got you turned all the way low. You there?
Yeah, I'm here. You there?
Yeah, okay. No,
I thought I would try
the number while you were on with John to see if that might knock something loose on your Skype.
No, it didn't.
Yeah.
And
is there... I very seldom have used it on, like, a laptop. I've always used it on the iPhone. I'm wondering if there's some setting that is like cancel call waiting or, you know, some equivalent.
I've been all over it. You can go and turn off call forwarding, turn on call forwarding, turn off call waiting. I've done it all. Makes no difference. I can call out, nobody can call in.
Okay, because I know with even with you know, my Mac laptop, which is a couple of years old, rather than go through Apple, there's an official forum of users. I wonder if there's an equivalent of Skype users that could, you know, brainstorm.
Oh, no,
that, and,
oh, no, there's a whole community, and it's as useless as tits on a boar hog.
Well, when was the last time you were able to get an incoming call?
I guess, well, the last time I got one was Friday.
I wonder if it's something on Sparky's end that didn't get switched back after the...
No, it's because he tried to connect to me for the Christmas on the Front Porch broadcast, and it did the same thing, just boom, kicked to voicemail. So I turned around and connected to him Skype to Skype. That's how we did Christmas on the Front Porch. I didn't give it any thought at the time, but then by the time I got around to Tuesday's program and all the calls were just bloop and gone, and then I had the same thing happen when I was filling in for Malloy, I realized, yeah, we had a problem. And I've been working on it since and going absolutely nowhere. Fast.
Will you lose all your settings if you uninstall and reinstall?
I did that, and I didn't lose all my settings. All my contacts are still there. Everything's as it should be.
Is that the only Skype account that you use?
Yep.
I mean, the only...
Yep.
That's weirder than fluorescent fuck, to coin the phrase.
Look, Microsoft has it, so therefore it means it's going to be... sooner or later, it was going to stop working because it's a Microsoft product.
What, Skype is?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Sadly, yes. Microsoft bought them a few years ago, and...
Jeez.
Yeah.
Well, I can empathize with you because it is very frustrating when you can't get it to always work the way you need for it to work.
Yeah, and this is just...
Can't find a solution.
Yeah, there is none. I can try to set it up on a separate machine, but that's going to be a trip out to buy more cords and cables, and you'd think I'd have enough by now, but you never have the exact right one.
Well, yeah, I found that to be true. I've got a kitchen drawer along with two good-sized cardboard boxes full of cables, wires, connectors, adapters.
Yeah, well, I mean, I've been at this for 13 years. And at this point in time, it's Bob's Home for Wayward Hardware.
Jesus.
Yeah. Well, I guess there's no point in me asking the question, is there?
Well, no. I wasn't intending even to be on with you today due to that very question being posed. I've become
to fly out there, aren't I?
No. I've reverted it. I didn't update you on this, but I've reverted it from a Christmas present to the Horn Group to a New Year's resolution stated and kept.
Well, you know, Earth, Earthers back to January 18th, right?
Of this year?
Nah. Well,
I mean, of the new year?
Yeah.
Well, no, it'll be before that.
Oh, you said it was going to be before Thanksgiving, Scott. Nobody believes you anymore. Your credibility's fucked.
Well, no, I was stating an intention that I didn't keep, and what I'm doing is when you don't... See, life breaks down when you don't keep agreements, and instead of ignoring the agreement, I'm making a new one. And my intention is to keep it, and I swear to God, Bob, I'm going to follow through, because things are slowly but surely getting organized and turned around here. I've got the living room pretty much set up the way I want it now. I've run out of things to divert me. And I know you're keying there. You're talking to somebody, and they're just scoffing and making fun to all get out.
No, actually, I was telling Steve from Georgistan that my feet are so cold they feel like they're on fire.
What, from the coldness in the studio?
Yeah.
Did you, I sent you a link to a little space heater that I got about a year ago from Amazon, and it's quite good.
Oh, no, I've got the room up to a balmy 53 degrees. It's just that with my feet sitting on this frozen-ass floor and being stationary and not moving around, there's really nothing you can do short of me buying a new pair of Uggs, and that, because that's what I wear, because I love the fleece lining. It's warm. It's toasty.
Yeah.
These are worn out. I mean, the fleece.
What,
just, yeah.
And what they, you they need
got holes
are
in them and stuff like that, and I'm just not going to do that.
You need some battery operated hunter socks.
I was thinking. I've got a pair of. Really, really good, all leather. They're modeled on naval aviator boots from the Second World War. They're not insulated, but if you go with a pair of wool socks and some neoprene socks underneath those, you don't get cold. So that's probably my next remedy.
Well, it's like, I don't know if Dr. Scholes makes it, but you could probably jerry-rig some sort of, like a piece of space blanket, and then a Dr. Scholes pad, because the space blanket will radiate the heat back to your foot, as opposed to, and also help keep out the cold from the floor.
Yeah, and I mean, I'm not kidding. I'm beginning to fret a little bit, because the early reports said the winter was not supposed to be like this.
Yeah.
And in the next 4 days, we're going to see overnight lows of 5 and 7.
Well, here's the deal about early reports, and you should know this by now. The early reports were, it was all just campaign rhetoric, you know, campaigning and poetry, and Trump would pivot. Well,
yeah.
We see how that's worked out.
That's true. I was like any other member of the faithful when I read that. I wanted to believe it, okay?
I did, too, initially, for about the first week.
But now I know we're going to freeze our tuchuses off. Probably till June, and I am gonna absolutely go bankrupt buying propane. If I've got the spare laying around, we talked about it because we weren't particularly fond of the idea, but Agnes and I have agreed that we're gonna get a kerosene heater, and then maybe use I don't know there's a Mr. Heater head that fits on a 20-pound bottle that'll save money, because these little 1-pound bottles are brutally expensive.
Yeah. Well, the one day last week, I guess it was, late last week, the overnight temperatures dipped down to like 42, 43.
I'm
going
to reach through this microphone and
strangle you. Listen, in the grand scheme of things, it's all relative. It doesn't strike most people as being terribly cold, but for this part of the world,
you're not ready for it.
If you're not used to it, well, there's this built-in wall heater. It's about maybe 5 feet tall, built into the living room wall, that runs on gas. And because it runs on gas, I was kind of hinky about playing with it. So the landlord came over and lit the pilot and showed me how to operate it and stuff, because I couldn't find any documentation. The thing is so old. The company doesn't even exist that made the device.
Oh, that's lovely.
So he showed me what was what. And but before that, he couldn't come that evening. So before that, that night, waiting for him to come the following day, I had on 2 sweatshirts. I found a stocking cap. And stocking caps, actually, any type of hat, you lose a lot of the heat of your body top of your head.
Oh yeah.
You might even consider a stocking cap.
Well, I've got a Stormy Cromer back here, and you can't get cold with one of those on your head. My
what
feet,
is that?
Just look it up. StormyCromer.com. StormyKromer. The preferred,
it's a great, great radio name.
Yeah, it is. It's a great hat name, too. It's the preferred frigid weather headgear for northern Michigan, northern Wisconsin, and northern Minnesota. And you can't get cold. You just can't get cold in one.
No, I have to look that up.
No, my feet are the problem, and it's just, well, mainly it's just going to be a man. I think the neoprene socks and some good wool socks will go a long way. But hell, Agnes and I are, I mean, we're sleeping in layers. Okay, get this. And I, by the way, I do know when it's 42. I've got a sister who lives and brother-in-law who live on the Gulf Coast, and you know, for 2 days a year, it'll get down to 32 degrees.
Yeah.
And the entire area loses its mind.
Oh yeah, I remember that from Corpus Christi, the year that I lived down
okay,
there.
Okay, so it's the same principle, because.
Oh yeah.
I get the idea.
And the thing was, a lot of my wife at the time, a lot of her people were from southern Missouri, and we were around Christmas time, we were bragging on how nice and balmy it was on the Gulf Coast. So they all piled in the jalopy and came on down, you know, like something out of the Beverly Hillbillies. And they got down there just in time for the frigid Corpus Christi weather for a couple of days. I think it may have even snowed.
Oh, and it's wet, too, so that makes it extra. But there were some parts not far from here that saw 20 below last night with the wind chill factor figured in.
Oh, God.
Yeah. But Agnes and I, we're sleeping in those modern materials, the synthetic blends, thin but warm, long underwear, with like fleece over top of it, and socks.
You could try footy pajamas.
And then we're actually under about five layers of blankets with an unzipped Arctic rated 10 below zero sleeping bag on top of it all. You can
Good
get
Lord.
Through that way, but it's not pleasant.
Yeah.
So, you know, my world, and welcome to it. Scott, I'm glad we got a chance to talk, and thanks, Ralphs, for sending me another link for something to look at for a remedy.
I'll see what I can find. It sounds like you've pretty much explored that terrain, but there's got to be a solution to it, you know, and a fix.
Oh, I know the solution to it.
Well, besides tossing the thing out of the window.
Exactly. Scott, you and Punky have a good night and stay warm.
Okay, Bob.
All right. Bye now.
See ya.
By the way, Patagonia gear holds up as well sleeping in it as it does walking around in it. That's another unpaid product placement for Patagonia.com. A good company. Check them out if you need cold weather gear. I can vouch for it. It works. So there we go. We've reached the end of the program. Friday on the front porch tomorrow, I guess, sort of, maybe, kind of. Although I don't know, this is really, really intensely frustrating. Maybe what I need is a 4-day weekend, if y'all don't mind. But we'll think about it. I'll probably be here. I can't stand to stay away. You know how it goes. Thanks to all of you who keep this program on the air with your kind and generous contributions and your subscriptions. Thank you very kindly to all of you who spend your precious finite time engaged in the program in whatever manner you choose. Thank you to our all-volunteer staff. Thank you in the chat room to Sparky and to Steve from Georgistan. Thank you to our news ninjas. Thank you, John Fox. Thank you, Ben Birch, WhiteRoseSociety.org. And thanks to the hardest working, bravest people I know, the men and women of Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And always, 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 Gina, it's all for you. Good night, y'all. Brr.